I turn to Paul Segunda, professor of law and the director of labor and employment law program there at Marquette University. Paul, thanks for taking time for us.
Always a pleasure to be with you, Rick.
So I look at this photograph. I look at this woman riding her bike, telling the president and the motorcade what she thinks of them, only to have her employer fire her for exercising what I think is her free speech right to, tell her government what she thinks.
And you know what's interesting is, unlike, where people are always told in the workplace, if you work in the private sector, in the workplace, you have no First Amendment free speech rights because the First Amendment protects you from government action.
Right.
So only if you're a public employee do you have First Amendment rights. But what makes this really unsettling is this woman wasn't at work. She was riding her bike recreationally and happened to be where the presidential motorcade was. And she was literally a citizen expressing her opinion silently, peacefully. And because it became a viral picture, she ended up being found out by her employer. And her employer said, well, we're a federal contractor. We can't afford to employ you anymore. And she lost her job, which I think struck a lot of us as horribly unfair.
Well, I mean, unfair, yes, but there are so many of us believe that we have a First Amendment right to, and we have the right to exercise and redress our government of grievances and all of this stuff, only to find out that, you could be fired for anything. And this is something that you and I have talked about over the years, this idea of at-will employment. So legally, there doesn't seem to be any recourse for this woman because, it's an at-will state.
Yeah. And in fact, Rick, we've talked about this. 49 states and the District of Columbia are at-will states. The only non-at-will state is Montana. So if you're from Montana and you're listening, then this doesn't apply to you. But everyone else who's listening, at-will means you can be fired for good reason, bad reason, no reason at all. And even though we may disagree with this employer, we'll file this under a bad reason, it doesn't matter. There is no legal recourse. And of course, this is something that people always forget about unions, Rick. We talk about the importance of having voice in the workplace, being able to express your concerns or how the business can be made better or just how to be treated fairly. But one thing that is often overlooked, but might be even more important than the higher wages and higher benefits that come with union membership, is the fact that almost every single union collective bargaining agreement has what is called a just cause provision, which means you can only be terminated for a good reason.
Right.
The employer can't fire you at a whim or because of a controversial or provocative reason. They have to come forward with actual proof that you haven't met a company expectation or a reasonable requirement of the job. It's just not what you need to do in employment at will. So again, just to restate this for people who are listening, there is a huge difference between being employed at will, which is what, 88% of our country is employed at right now, versus being under a union contract, whether public or private employment, where you have just cause protection and the employer has to give a good reason before they take an adverse employment action against you.
And not just cause to fire you, also due process, where there is a process by which they have to go to fire you.
And what we talk about always is these ideas of industrial due process and industrial equal protection. Industrial due process means that you have a right to have your side of the story told and some form of a hearing, an opportunity to basically have a deliberate decision and not just be fired on a whim instantaneously. As far as industrial equal protection, well, if this has happened before in the workplace, you should be treated equivalently with everyone else who has been in a similar situation. It shouldn't just be a knee-jerk reaction that the employer, because of their particular interests outside of the workplace, are, sensitive to.
Yeah. But here again, you look at this and you go back to that that frame between an employee without a contract and employees with contracts. And I look at the NFL. You have a lot of employees in the NFL who have said that they're going to, in a silent way, do the same kind of protest. Only they're doing it on the job, and well, most of them, outside of Colin Kaepernick, have had protections.
Correct. And by the way, remember, there's an essential difference between the NBA's collective bargaining contract and the NFL's. The NBA's contract, it was bargained by the union, and we may or may disagree with this, that people who are basketball players have to stand for the anthem. But not so in the NFL. There's nothing in the current NFL agreement that requires players to stand. And again, reasonable people, Rick, can disagree over this. But the point of the matter is it shouldn't be something that is unilaterally imposed on you. Your union, as your representative, should have the right to bargain over it. And depending on how important it is to that group of employees, you may or may not want to fight over it, depending on what else you care about in the workplace as far as terms and conditions.
Now, you know, I look at this, and again, I've had a number of conversations about this over the last week and a half with folks who are saying, well, this is dead wrong, and there should be a law.
Yeah, there should be.
Because, you know, so many people think that they're protected, and I get this a lot because I think people don't understand the whole First Amendment freedom of speech thing.
It's one of the most known misperceptions about employment law is this idea that I have the same free speech rights within the workplace that I have as I'm walking around in my everyday life. No, you don't. There are no First Amendment rights in the private sector workplace. There are some First Amendment rights in the public sector workplace, but only about 15% of Americans are employed in the public sector. So for the other 85%, there is a common misperception that you have free speech rights. I had a colleague who a number of years ago went around the country and asked people, do you think your employer can fire you if they disagree with what you say? And most people, not surprisingly, I think it was like 80%, said, no, I have a right to say what I want to. That's my First Amendment right. Again, legally, that is not the current law.
Yeah.
The current law is the First Amendment does not apply in the private sector, and you're employed at will, which means, again, you can be fired for good reason, bad reason, no reason at all. It gives the employer tremendous power over an individual employee.
Yeah. But here's the thing. This is a little bit differently. I mean, this is the new world in which we're beginning to live in, because she wasn't at work. She was nowhere attached to work. It was posted on social media, and, you know, so it begs to ask the question, in the new world that we live in with social media, apparently, you know, if you tweet something out, your boss doesn't like, you post something on Facebook, your boss doesn't like, there's the door. So, I mean, we're talking some kind of major censorship, if you will.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I have to say that what happens and what the employer said here was, we're a federal contractor. We do a lot of our business with the federal government. We've gotten a lot of bad press over this. If bad means that we've offended the current administration, and we just can't afford to keep you hired here anymore. And again, that sounds like a really bad reason, but it's not an illegal reason. And so, as you've pointed out before, what we really need is something to protect employees who are in this situation. Now, I'll be honest with you. There doesn't need to be a law. There is a law. It's called the National Labor Relations Act. You know, employees should be angry about this. They should be looking for ways to organize and protect themselves through collectivization. That is, working together to improve their work conditions. There is a law, but unfortunately, because I think the game is stacked against employees, as far as how the labor law has been interpreted recently in favor of employers, it's very hard, as you know, Rick, for employees who want to join a union to actually do so.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of this, you're right. We've got the law. It's just that it's been so badly, I like the term ossification of our labor law over just years and years of just being whittled down and attacked and amended in ways that the pendulum has swung way too far to the side of employers. It is a struggle. But here's the thing. I look at this moment and I look at this image and I look at this woman being fired as one of these things that everybody, regardless of your political ideology, which regardless mm-hmm. of you like Donald Trump or you don't, I think universally people want to be able to have their say in a free country without the kind of terrorism that would come from being fired. And I use that word on purpose because, look, if you can't in your own home have the ability to say what you want and do what you want, that's a situation, in my view, of some bit of terrorism.
There's two types of freedom, I think, involved here. There's the freedom to express yourself outside the workplace, absolutely, but there's also a freedom from, and the freedom here is from employer interference. That is, you should have a right to privacy, a right to autonomy when you're no longer at work. Let me tell you something interesting, Rick. In other countries, in France, in Germany, they recognize a new right in this world of social media that we live in called the right to disconnect. That means that after you leave work, your employer has no right to track you down by email, by text, on social media, and you are free to do as you want, unmolested by your employer's interests. I think such a law would be something that would work very well in this country, and it's just a matter of convincing people to elect representatives who understand that they're sick and tired of having their private lives interfered with by their employers.
Yeah. And the potential of their families being completely upended. And you know, you look at this woman, you know, fired, you know, without notice, without recourse, because there's no recourse here, is there?
No, there's no recourse. There's no severance. There is no notice there. I mean, she is basically going to also probably have to fight for unemployment because if you are fired, they say, for willful misconduct under most state unemployment compensation laws, and this case would, I guess, occur in Virginia, you know, you could be out of unemployment compensation benefits, too.
Wow. So much here. So much here. Paul, I appreciate your thoughts. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me again, Rick. It's always a pleasure.
Great talking with you. Our good friend Paul Segunda, professor of law and the director of the Labor and Employment Law Program there at Marquette University. I'd love to hear your thoughts. Should you be fired for, well, giving the one finger salute, telling someone they're number one, or something you post on social media? I'd love to hear your thoughts, Rick at the Rick Smith Show.com.